welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
Today, this is our final fall concert series episode, and we're going to be talking about what we consider to be more difficult pieces for your fall program. We will be discussing Zombie Dreams by Roland Barrett, Cave You Fear by Michael Markowski, and Music for a Darkened Theater by Danny Elfman, arranged by Michael Brown. Cheers to starting the conversation.
With all three of these pieces, they go through multiple key changes, time signature changes, lots of transitions.
Tempo changes.
All of that. So rather than give you a breakdown of key and time and all that for each piece, we're just going to dive right in. Know that they all have lots of transitions like that, which is one of the things that, of course, makes them a little more challenging.
But and all three pieces are about 5 minutes in length,
yes,
between four and a half and 5 minutes.
They are longer. They require more range ability by
endurance,
your woodwinds and your brass players, more a lot of independence in the parts.
And a lot more effects in general.
From the wind players and percussionists, lots of percussion equipment. So these definitely are just all three of these pieces are definitely a little meatier, a little more challenging.
So we're going to start with Zombie Dreams, and this piece is a programmatic work, and it takes you through the journey of a zombie. So the zombie wakes up, the zombie is starting to walk, the zombie does a dance, a waltz in the middle. Falls in love, and then maybe not, he's fleeing away from his love, or she's fleeing away, so we'll take you through that. But it's super fun with the kids. They love this piece because everybody gets something cool, and it has a fun story. So at the beginning, it says, literally in the score, zombie wakes. So this is fun because your wind section and your percussion get to do some cool effects. Your trumpets are rumpling grocery bags to make it sound like the wind. Your trombones and euphoniums and tubas are blowing air through their instrument with the mouthpiece all the way in their mouth so they don't accidentally vibrate.
You get chains in the percussion.
Your percussion gets to drop a chain like a zombie's trying to like wake up and like free himself. Chimes are important.
Stick or an ocean drum.
It's supposed to sound just like the zombie's waking up. So it's fun. The kids love it. And you can do as much or little as you want at the very beginning. Then like it's kind of coming in and out, getting stronger and softer through here with some of our lower voices.
Mallet percussion, very important through here.
Yep. Rhythm kind of gets a little bit more, but not terrible yet as we're crescendoing up to 11 with a big fermata. Then we have some cool percussion effects again as we're transitioning into the zombie fully starting to walk. It's like they broke free from the chain and now the zombie is walking, and that is in the form of the low brass, low reeds. And we have the low lows going downward in motion and the trombone euphonium going up in motion. So it's really fun and the kids love to hear this part.
It's chromatic, so it's a great opportunity to be like, hey, see how we see this in music? This shows up in music. Great technique teaching opportunity, making tongue and fingers move at the same time or slide and fingers move at the same time.
At 15, the horns and the saxes have some rips coming in, and then we've got the melody right away at 17 with the trumpets. And the lows continue their part, but obviously they're going to get softer under the trumpets. Flute, clarinet, gets to add in with a little trill and then a little response to the trumpet part. Back to the melody and trumpets, same response in the upper woodwinds. At 25, we have a more connected flowing section with this cool suspended cymbal part on below them. Woodwind feature with lots of smooth dynamics, and
we want to make sure that we get that
flowing
crescendo up and then decrescendo down, crescendo up, decrescendo down, 4-bar phrases so that we're not having any gaps in the sound in this section.
Then the horns get to come in with a cool part along with alto line, and then we start off with 33 with it sounds kind of like we're not sure. There's like something's happening. It's getting a little spookier. Chimes have a really important part here to interject in between. And then it kind of sounds like a heartbeat at 37 and 38 in the timpani and bass drum with the bells and chimes kind of interspersing here. It's like a percussion break. Then we're back to 39, the zombie's walking. It's almost like your heart was beating because you weren't sure if the zombie was still coming. And then, oh yes, he's still walking behind me. So then we have the same melody again.
Same idea, exact same thing that we had before. Exactly.
Yep. And then, of course, paying attention to the differing styles here. Then we have a big timpani solo.
Timpani has a big moment.
And then we finish out the first part.
When we get to measure 49, so there is a key signature change and a time signature change. You want to make sure that you practice that and you figure exactly how to get your students in right on time. Right there, it starts with tuba, and then flute, and of course percussion. So it's relatively easy, but it does take a little bit of time practicing that transition here.
And this is the waltz section. So it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. So it's got this little just waltz feel, of course. Clarinet and euphonium get to have the melody together. It's a really pretty mellow sound. And, you know, whenever I've played this piece, I talk about the girl and the boy zombie. And they're starting to do a waltz here. Maybe they're going to be more than friends.
Maybe they're starting to fall in
love. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be a girl and a girl, boy and boy, whatever. So as we're going into this part here at 61, we have a really cool horn and alto counter melody line, which I like, and I think it's really fun to bring that part out, and then some more of the little like descending lines going on underneath it.
And horn has several little moments like what happened here at 61 where it's not the melody, but it's really important.
Want to bring it out. Yep.
Yeah, so make sure they're cut. It's a little bit higher. It sits a little bit higher in their range, so just make sure they're really confident. It's really solid.
We get a cool muted part in the trumpets at 68, and they do not have the same part at all. So the melody is in sax 1 and trumpet 1, but then trumpet 2 along with the oboe have this like counter melody part, and they're intermixing together. So I always
they're
say
dancing.
These are the two zombies.
Yeah,
they're,
right.
dancing together. But it's very thinned out here, and that's what makes this piece a little bit more difficult. Everybody's got an important part.
Lots of exposed parts.
We get into 77, it gets a little faster. It's almost like they're going faster and faster on the waltz. And then we have a little tuba moment at 84 leading into 85 where in the score it says raucous. It gets even faster. It's like the tempo is just picking up and picking up. It's getting more exciting. The trumpet one part goes all the way up to a G. So it does get a little bit higher. There's a cool little descending line in trumpet 2 and clarinet 2 part. And the whole band is descending as it gets more raucous. But their part's really neat.
And percussion is important here, too, to add to that raucous feel. And I love that it's marked raucous, but obviously you want to make sure that you're working to balance
it
out.
Yeah,
so that it doesn't, raucous does not mean noisy, right? So making sure that it's musically raucous, but still controlled.
Then there's a ritardando at 91, and that goes on for a few measures. Then we're slower, not by a lot, but a little bit at 94, still in the waltz feel. And then it ends with percussion on the bells and then a little cute finish. Then we have another time and key signature change. And this section is called Zombie Crush. So as we mentioned before, now one of the zombies has a crush on the other one. And the kids always think this is really fun because we always have some sort of little story to go along with it. So the flutes and the clarinets come in first with the first zombie, and then we have like kind of a lower voice come in, and then they're leading up, and this is a very slow section. It says tenderly in the music. We're adding in more voices as we go on. It's got a lot of fermatas starting and stopping. This is really more difficult than a lot of the other parts because the kids have to be more musical and watch the conductor more. So this is a great piece for exposing students to getting their eyes out of the music and following along and making it sound very musical.
So we talk a lot in our band rehearsals about the fact that practice time is for learning your own part and rehearsal time is for learning everybody else's part and how your part fits with theirs. And this is a classic example of one of those. Like the individual parts on their own are not necessarily overly challenging in and of themselves, but putting them together and making sure we move together and transition together, that's the challenge.
Absolutely. And that part's pretty small. Then all of a sudden we get back into the upbeat speed and it says zombie flees. So one of the partners in the zombie crush decided, I don't want you. So somebody starts leaving. They have the heartbeat comes back with chimes in the percussion. Then the low brass have kind of a version of what they had before. Mm-hmm. And it kind of picks up and gets you more excited. And then at 1:18,
making sure we're moving together, tonguing together on all of that.
Yep. At 1:18, we come in with a new little melodic line in the trumpet. It's kind of reminiscent of what we had before, but a little bit different now.
Snare drum is way more active
snare
here.
Snare drum is very important here.
So the tendency is going to be, as this part picks up in difficulty, for the snare drummer to play too loud.
Right.
So don't let it, even though this is supposed to be menacing here, making sure that the snare is not overpowering what's happening in the winds.
Yep. Then we have a full band subito piano, and we are doing the low brass line going downward again, and then little percussion moment, and then the very, very end. So it's got so many cool transitions in it and a lot of great teaching tools as well. The next piece is Cave You Fear by Michael Markowski. And this piece is really pretty fun. The kids love it. And it's written on overcoming your own personal fears and not getting bogged down with anxiety and being worried about things that come.
I love the imagery in this piece. Like, I feel like Markowski does such a fabulous job of using sounds to convey those scary feelings that you sometimes have as an individual. And what a cool opportunity for us to have those conversations with our students about that.
Yep. At the very beginning, we get to have these big swells, crescendo, decrescendos, and all the parts, just kind of setting up the tone. And we have lots of half notes and eighth notes. It's nothing ridiculous, but just making sure you move together and really overdo the dynamics as much as you can.
Your percussionists will love all the cool effects that they get to do. In this piece, they get to make some really interesting sounds on the percussion instruments.
The trombone and euphonium get to come in at 13 with a quarter note line, and it gets passed up to trumpet, clarinet, and saxophone. And then we have a fermata in 16, and that's going to be the tempo change. Now it's going to go faster to 144 at 17. The flutes and percussion get to start out with that little melodic part. Then clarinet and horn and sax take over with the melody, emphasis on the horn part, with a really cool hi-hat part underneath where they're going to be like grooving. My kids like this piece because it kind of sounds like rock music, I guess, a lot of times. So the hi-hat kind of adds to that feel. Trumpets get to take over with some melody, then the flutes, big old glissando at 29. As we're going into 30.
And I want to add, like, on that hi-hat part, like, a lot of younger players will make their accented notes and their tapped notes very close to the same volume, and then you're not going to get that same rock groove like Katie mm-hmm. was talking mm-hmm. about, right? In order to maximize that effect, their accented notes need to be way stronger than their tapped notes. So just have the students work on that.
We have a big trumpet melody going into 34, 35, 36. 37 is a big punchy part with the brass. They love this and the little trill in the upper woodwinds. They sound kind of creepy at 39 and 40. And
I love the mallets here as well.
Yep, so they all get the chance to do this cool, like, kind of rock feel again. And again, we've got rim shots on the snare drum here, so it just kind of sounds really fun. There's a lip fall at 43. We have, the hi-hat is getting more intense here. Lots of mallet stuff going on. And then at 45, we have some crescendo, decrescendo hairpin dynamics again.
So it's all meant to just be really effective. Like, yeah, we're just trying to create an effect, create an ambiance.
At 53, we immediately slow down to about half tempo, and the upper people are on a cue. This piece calls for something called a super ball mallet, and you actually need three of them. One is being used on the timpani, and two are being used on the tam-tam or gong. I believe there's even one for the bass drum further in on the piece, but I could be wrong on that. But this piece, you should look up how to properly play a super ball mallet so that you can show your kids how to do that. But it sounds so cool here. It's meant to kind of sound like that, like Laura was saying, like the anxiety is coming up and you're not really sure. What is that sound? I don't know. know what that is, and you want to encourage your percussion to really go for all of this part, the band is just playing long chords and notes above them.
This is one of the coolest parts of the piece, I think, and certainly that effect that the percussion section is adding is what is giving you this whole vibe here.
Yes. The alto saxophones get to play a multiphonic note here that also adds to that scariness, and then a woodblock comes in at 59, and they're just supposed to go slower and slower on their instrument, so it's like really kind of makes you feel like your heartbeat is racing. Then we have a little bit more of the Super Bowl mallet part in the percussion, along with trumpet having the melody here, and we're kind of getting into some more swells and falls. We're still just kind of maybe trying to figure out why are we afraid, that sort of vibe, as Laura said here. We have a little scrape on the suspended cymbal, or actually I think it's on the timpani, on the gong, and then the trumpets get to say ha. So it's just supposed to sound like really spooky here and like unsure. Then we have some melodic stuff in the woodwinds, followed by the brass. It's kind of conversational here.
All of this with these instruments coming in and out, like it requires a lot of confidence and independence in your players. They need to make sure that they're counting their rests really carefully.
They're leading into the next section.
That's right. You can't be held accountable for cueing every single solitary entrance. Your students need to be really accountable for counting carefully.
We have a ritardando going into 75. Then we're back to the original faster tempo. We have that horn and alto part again coming in on their melody. But then at 79, this is very rock feel here. The low brass get the melody and low reeds. And oh my gosh, the kids love this part so much. It even says aggressively in the part. And they just go bananas for this. It's like super fun for your low people. And it's chromatic.
And really cool sounding.
And it sounds awesome. Yeah. 87, we get some upper woodwind melody, and then euphonium gets to add in with a cool counter melody. At 92, we've got some trumpet stuff leading us up into the very end. 96 is kind of a big moment for everybody. The low people have the half notes here, and then the upper woodwinds are just playing on top of them, not taking over. And then the trumpets get to flutter tongue.
And that's not always easy in those upper woodwinds.
And pick their own thing. Like, they get to just pick whatever parts they want to play, and it's supposed to sound like a monster coming at you. And it's, like, super fun for the kids because they get to kind of play around with it, and we get the multiphonics back on the saxophone.
So in this upper woodwind part here, just making sure, because the first clarinet part is up over the break, your first flute part is up pretty high, making sure that they're matching style really well and not covering up all this cool effect stuff that is happening in the brass.
There's trombone effects. We're doing lots of stuff in percussion. Then we're going to slow down going into 104. We have a big caesura, and then we stop and then come back in at the same faster tempo to end it out. So this piece is really fun for just exposing your students to different things that they can do on their instrument, but not in a relatively difficult rhythmic way or anything like that.
One of the things that, before we move on to our final piece in this series, one of the things that I do think makes this a little bit more challenging, because there is not a melody that they're familiar with, there's not, you know, like in our final piece, you'll hear that they might be familiar with the Beetlejuice theme or the theme from the Halloween, Christmas, Halloween, whatever. There's not a melody in this that they know. Mm-hmm. So that independence, again, is going to be really, really, really important, making sure they know their individual parts and can put that all together like mature musicians.
Our last piece is Music for a Darkened Theater by Danny Elfman and arranged by Michael Brown. And we love this piece.
In this piece, this covers music from Tales from the Crypt, the old TV show. Your kids are probably not going to know what that is, but their parents will. The Nightmare Before Christmas, that was the movie I was trying to remember the name of. Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, and Spider-Man. So the kids are going to recognize a lot of these musical themes. But this piece is super challenging because it has so many transitions. Again, lots of independence, key changes, all of that.
And I would say the rhythms are more difficult in this piece than anything we've seen so far.
Yeah, they're definitely more advanced. We start out with a really, really brisk tempo, even though everyone is on longer valued notes here. Bells are really setting the pulse when they come in the third measure. Then the saxophones and trumpets enter with their little punctuated parts. Then we get the cool, if you've ever seen Tales from the Crypt, you get the cool one and two and three and four and that you hear at the start of that. The saxophones and the horns, I like the and tuba, the instrument combinations in this piece, I think are really creative. They have the melody starting at measure 11. Now, I haven't said a whole lot about percussion, but there is a ton of percussion in this, and all of the little accessory instruments are really, really important. This is one of those pieces that you might have to have percussionists run around and cover multiple parts.
Right.
I will tell you, as a percussionist, those were my favorite pieces to play. I loved getting to run around and play multiple things, but there's a lot of things you need to make sure are covered in this. At 11, again, that melody is in tuba, horn, and alto. And again, you're going to see lots of interesting combinations of instruments in this. So we play through this whole Tales from the Crypt melody here, which just keeps building. We pass the melody around to some different instruments, opportunities for dynamic contrast, forte piano notes, again, all just effective stuff. As we get into the first, the new piece, this is Halloween.
Yep, and this is, of course, the kids will probably recognize this piece from the movie, and it's a lot slower here. It's in halftime, so that's kind of nice that you can just teach what that means to the students. And this has got a lot of like staccato parts for the "this is Halloween" part, but then it's also got like flowy parts on top of it when it's not the melody part. So that's pretty neat, just teaching the kids about differing styles and how to bring that out. Like I mentioned, a little bit more tricky rhythms here and there. One and two and three and four and comes back over and over. It's not ridiculous, but it's something. And then we have a cool piccolo and tuba solo. That's always fun at 34. And that's cute in nature. Kids love that. Lots of just cool parts here. We have one little measure of 3/4. Then we're going to have an alto solo. Cool temple blocks part, cool timpani part, as we're kind of keeping going into the same theme and building in more and more voices. At 43, we're all in and we're all on the same rhythm with housetop accents, except for the bass line, tuba, bass, clarinet.
Key changed here, so be mindful of that.
Yep. And so just talking about moving together, making sure we all can tongue at that speed with ease, 16th notes, you know, that can be a challenge for some students. So just teaching them all about how to tongue quickly with a great sound. And then we've got some cool little like grace note moments coming into the little finish here. And then we do a ritardando going into 49, where it says the introduction to titles, which I believe must be the Spider-Man type thing.
This one, I think, is the Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, as Edward
yeah.
Scissorhands.
Yeah, and this, one of the things that I think is so cool about this, every instrument gets the melody at some point this piece. So everybody has an opportunity to play something cool. This is faster than the speed that we were going before. So many accidentals in this section, but it's not fast. Faster than we were going before, but not too fast. Lots and lots of accidentals. This kind of reminds me, that's right, of that middle section of KV Fear that we talked about, that that this is, rhythmically, this is not very difficult.
We all have to move together.
But that's exactly right. This is a good opportunity to maybe bop this section with your band to make sure they understand exactly the precision and the vertical alignment. Phrasing, making sure that we're all holding over those bar lines here. The middle voice, alto horn, euphonium, gets some cool moments in this. Then we lead in with the fermata, the upper woodwinds, and the bells before we go to the really, really fast tempo change. One of the things I love about this tempo change here is there is no percussion instrument or any articulation. It's just long notes. So it makes the tempo transition in this section a little easier.
That's always a good thing to have. Then we get into the Beetlejuice theme at 73. You get the low people to start out with a walking baseline. Then we have a one and two and happening throughout here. And the and part is from most of the winds. So that's going to be kind of difficult to line up 100%.
Working
so
the alignment really working, between the downs and the ups.
And yeah, playing on the ands is kind of
making sure your
to
students
do.
Aren't breathing on right. every one of those eighth rests.
Then we have some melody in the horn at 81. And we have this really cool section at 85 where the 16th notes are being passed back and forth, one and a two and a one and a two and a. So making sure that we're passing it back and forth, it doesn't slow down. It sounds very seamless through the parts. This is where the rhythm gets a little bit trickier too. We get some 16th triplets that come in. We have a lot more 16th notes being punctuated in here and there. And then at 92, we have an entrance on the and of three. So just we're getting a little bit more tricky with just rhythms than most of the other pieces we've discussed so far today. And then we're coming in with, again, some more punctuations on the melody. And
low brass
we're adding
has
some
their
trills.
Moment here.
Yeah, low
they
brass
get to play
gets
the
to be
cool
important.
Part.
98, we're all in. It's tutti. We want the trumpets to be really important here, along with the low people. Woodwinds are just on top, but they're playing, you know, kind of high on their instruments. So just make sure they're not screaming. And then we're all going to ritardando into 108. And then we have a really cool percussion moment.
This is this transition here in this section, the percussion need to be really confident. So the tempo drops down pretty dramatically and we switch feels. Now, instead of all of the 16th note action, one and, two and, three and, four and, we switch to triplet mode. This is where we're getting into that Spider-Man main title theme here. So those triplets need to feel very even. Everybody is going to either have triplets or quarter triplets at some point in here. So this is a good teaching opportunity if you've never taught two beat triplets or quarter triplets to your ensemble.
And that would be good if you are thinking of playing it for like one of your pieces for contest. Like if you're going to have a piece with a lot of quarter note triplets in it, this would be a good one to expose them to that.
All of this here, again, tons of accidentals. So this, I have found because this section right here is really thickly textured and scored, like we had to break this down to make sure everyone was playing all the right notes or no, that is a right note, it's a weird chord or that's a wrong partial. So you just want to make sure because it's very thick here that the students are confident on their individual parts.
We have a lot more quarter note triplets here, along with eighth note triplets in the percussion. So just timing and alignment. There's even like a triplet coming off of a tie. That's pretty tricky to put together early in the year. So this is not a piece for young band for
not
sure.
Not for the faint of heart.
Yes. We continue on with the Spider-Man theme. Then we have some more eighth note triplets leading us up.
We're all just kind of building to the end, making a big, big, exciting finish.
It goes faster. Allegro goes quicker here all the way to the end with lots of the, is that the Beetlejuice theme coming back?
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Yes.
Yeah, with the accents going into the very end. So this piece is just chock full of rhythms,
mm-hmm.
learning opportunities, style markings,
funky rhythmic entrances. Yeah,
yes.
it is a lot, but it's
fun.
And this is one of those pieces that even if you didn't choose to program it for a fall concert, it might be a great end of year piece as well, just because it has so many movie themes. But we love this. We hope that these three pieces today, a little bit more difficult, have given you something to think about considering programming for your ensemble coming up.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.